Well, staying safe in remote regions such as ours is always an important issue. In November last year, we sadly saw the deaths of a family of three, and amongst them a 12-year-old boy, after the breakdown of a breakdown on a remote road. This year, and of course this just happened, just weeks after two people died in remote Western Australia from suspected heat exposure and dehydration. And all these events have led anti-emergency services to remind people that of ways to stay safe while on the road. Jared Lascelles is the area manager with anti-emergency services, and he spoke with me a little bit earlier today. Jared, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So what's prompted, I suppose, this consideration that a bigger message needs to get out there when it comes to driving in our part of the world?
Well, I suppose there's a couple of major issues. Firstly, the vastness of Central Australia and the size and the distances, people can either become complacent or they can actually get caught out not realising that, gee whiz, it's quite a long way from here to there. Over the last 6 to 7 months, we've had quite a few incidents of people breaking down, and not staying with a vehicle is probably the biggest mistake they can make. So these people, for whatever reasons, have left the vehicles, either thought that they were going to walk their way out of trouble or find help, and consequently they've ended up in serious condition or, in a couple of cases, a lot worse. So I suppose it's about this time of the year to get people aware that driving in remote Australia has its hazards.
When you say there's been a few cases, now I know you can't be specific to certain cases, but has it been tourists coming up the track, or have we found that even people who've lived here a long time get themselves into trouble as well?
It's a good combination of both, Paul. You know, it's about people coming up from down south where the conditions are totally different, and it's such a beautiful part of Australia, they sort of get lost in it all a bit, and it catches them out. But we also have quite a number of locals from remote communities and also here in Alice Springs that just love to be out in the bush and go driving and get caught out.
How much does, I suppose, vehicle condition and vehicle age play a part when things do go wrong?
Look, it's really important that not everyone's a mechanic. We all like to think we are, all us fellas, but have a look at your vehicle, do a bit of a roadworthy check, take it to your dealer, take it to your local service station and get a second opinion if you just don't think something's right, you know, because the roadworthiness of your vehicle is the main backbone of this whole story.
Because there would be people who say, well, I've got my car serviced recently, it's all been checked, it's all okay, I'll be fine to make that, you know, maybe 1,500-kilometre trip, you know, up north or down south or east or west or however, whichever direction you're going. Is it right if people think to themselves, well, I've got everything checked out recently, I'll be fine?
Look, we can all fall into that trap, can't we? But mechanics is mechanics. It can go wrong at the best of times. So I suppose it's not so much trying to totally negate breakdowns, which we can never do, but it's about trying to give us some sort of control over a situation through knowledge if we find ourselves in a situation where we have broken down.
What are some of the, I suppose, things that people should be checking off the list if they are going on a particularly long bush journey, or maybe a short one? Maybe they're only really going, for say, example, from here to Tennant Creek. Well, what should they always remember to have with them?
Okay, so we need to have water, number one priority. Now, all the experts say somewhere around 10 litres per person per day. A little bit of food. Well, obviously, if we're only going for a half-day drive, we don't need to take a banquet with us. But we need to take enough so that just in case we get delayed, there's a little bit extra in the kitty. And medicines. You know, how many times have we forgotten to take our medicine, you know? Our hats, our clothes, we're coming into a very cold time of the year. If ever it gets around to being there.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that at the moment, but yeah, it happens in Alice.
That's right. We get down to the minuses, and exposure can be a very, very quick killer. So it doesn't hurt to have a blanket in the back of the car. It gives you a shelter if you do break down as well from the sun. So we need to take a bit of fuel if we're travelling a lot further than our tank is going to let us happen. A couple of tyres, spare tyres, always a good thing. 12-volt compressor, air compressor, it plugs onto your battery, your cigarette lighter. Really, really handy thing to have. Things change a little bit for every person's circumstances, but I think the most important thing is that if we break down, just don't panic. If you've given someone that you know here in Alice or in a remote community where you're heading to or where you've come from, some details about where you're going, what you're doing, how long you're going to be there, when you think you're going to arrive, and when you think you're going to get back, then you've probably pretty well got yourself covered.
And that can be the key, because I know for, well, here at the ABC, I can tell you that's always a big thing. You've always got to make sure that, you know, if you're going on those road trips, that the boss knows where you are. And I'm sure there'd be plenty of businesses and organisations in Alice that would have a certain road trip plan. But what about, I suppose, when it comes to personal journeys? So say, for example, I want to go out to Rainbow Valley for the weekend, and it's, you know, me and a couple of friends going out to Rainbow Valley. Should I be telling other people of these journeys as well? And how should that play out?
Well, I suppose if we've got family that aren't coming with us, let's make sure they're aware of all this information. You can actually ring the police up and let them know if you're doing a big trip away. Park rangers, if you happen to be going to any of the parks or the reserves. You can also be telling, if you're a tourist, your tourist operator, the people at the hotel or motel that you're staying.
Because that's, I suppose, been an interesting debate when it's come to, I mean, the sad news, we've sort of had, you know, quite a number of tourist deaths and people saying, well, should hotels put out more information in relation to that? But, you know, maybe it goes the other way where tourists can say to, for example, a receptionist, hey, just by the way, I'm heading out to here. If you don't see me by tonight, just check in. Do you think that could happen as well?
Absolutely. I think we've got to take a bit more responsibility for our own actions. And look, it may be something as simple as a particular motel putting a $2 exercise book on their front counter, and you just put your name and time leaving, time expected back. It could be something as simple as that. Your phone number, put your phone number down. You've got to remember too that once we go remote that we don't have a lot of the luxuries that we have down south and over on the east. So once you step out of Alice Springs and quite a large number of the communities, we don't have mobile phone. So, you know, sat phones are a really important thing. They're getting cheaper and cheaper. A lot of the people now having the spot trackers, which is another cheaper option.
So like the EPIRBs?
A little bit like the EPIRBs, yeah. So, but again, that has to go back to somewhere. So it has to go back to a person's phone or somewhere to connect.
Ah, so yeah. So there's little, yep, no, I know what you mean. There's sort of lots of apps and things that you can make sure that your GPS on your phone is always working, as opposed to, I suppose, even if you're out of mobile coverage. All right, so I suppose that makes sense. But yeah, as you said, you need someone in communication with emergency services for that to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is the key to it. You know, let people know, you know. And at the end of the day, it's going to happen. There's a good chance that it will break down. And most people break down and it's never a big issue.
Mm. The voice you're hearing is that of Jared Lascelles. He's the area manager with the Northern Territory Emergency Service. Just having a chat this afternoon in relation to, I suppose, some of the things you should be wary of when you're heading out bush, driving out bush. And I suppose some of the things that you should add to the checklist, and I know many of us do, but sometimes we tend to forget it, especially if we're sort of going out on a weekend or the like. Now, I suppose the other question would be, because there'd be a lot of people, I suppose, going up and down the Stuart Highway, and the thought heading on a pretty major road would be, well, it's okay, someone's going to come by at some point because there's always going to be traffic behind me or in front of me, so it's not that much of a bigger deal if I'm saying traveling from here to Tennant Creek or here to Yallara. Should the same precautions be made if we're just sticking to the major roads?
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, there is no guarantee that someone is going to come past you, and there's no guarantee that they're going to stop. You know, it's just a fact of life these days that not everyone stops for someone. So, again, it's about not relying on other people. It's about taking that responsibility. Once you step off the major tarred roads, you even decrease the ability for people to come along. And you can find yourself, okay, I take a little shortcut here and a shortcut there. You really need to know where you're going, and that surfaces can change actually in front of you. So conditions from dust, storms, rain. So again, it's about you taking personal responsibility. Get onto the bomb site. Listen to your local radio. Get the newspaper. Have a look to see what the weather reports are, because what might be good, safe road travelling at one end could be an absolute bog hole at the other end.
Say we do get ourselves into trouble, and I suppose this is where no one ever hopes to be, but you have broken down somewhere. You mentioned, I suppose, some of the rules to stick to, but can we go those in a little bit more depth? Why is it important to stick with the vehicle and not decide, well, maybe I can walk to get some help?
Well, I suppose one thing is staying with your vehicle is you've got shelter. Especially if you've got other people there, it means that you have that ability to keep everyone together. The vehicle becomes a comfort zone. I suppose also the fact that if you are lost and then you're reported lost and it goes through to the police and emergency services are activated, if we put up an aeroplane or a helicopter looking for you, we can see a car so much better from the height that we observe from than we can if we just see individual people walking along the sand dunes or from tree to keep out of the heat. So there's those scenarios too. The fact that you've also got a major shelter from the weather. We've seen where we can get 45s day after day after day. We can also get cold. It can change all the time. And there's probably nothing worse than getting wet from a shower of rain and then getting hit with a rather icy wind. Again, you start to run into exposure. So shelter from the elements, comfort zone, which reduces the need for us to panic if we really are bogged and stuck, and the fact that it makes it so much easier for us to see you. They're probably the three main things.
And I was going to say, when someone is reported as missing and say you are good enough to give your itinerary or travel directions to an individual who says, oh, they haven't gotten back yet, but this is what they were planning to do. How much does that, I suppose, factor when it comes to searching for someone and actually finding them alive and well?
Look, it plays a massive factor. As we all know, the NT is a big space out there. If someone rang us up and said that Mr. So-and-so has gone missing, we go, okay, where was he heading? And they go, I've got no idea. They were just going out with the fellas. It can put hours and hours and hours onto a search before we even get activated. So it's really important. Take the responsibility for your own actions. Let someone know. Because if you do go missing, then at least we've got a direction, we've got a road, we've got a community or something that we can isolate you and we can put all our efforts into those areas.
Jared, it's been fascinating. And again, many people might say, well, it's common sense tips. But for many of us, especially when we're kind of doing this day to day, we forget these things. So appreciate having a chat this afternoon.
No worries. Look, thanks, Paul. It's really a pleasure.
Jared Lascelles, Area Manager with the Northern Territory Emergency Services. With just, I suppose, a few tips when it comes to planning a road trip out of town, whether it's this weekend or in the very near future. And as you would have heard Jared saying there, it sort of really doesn't matter how far out of town you're heading, whether you're just thinking to yourself, well, I'm literally just going up the Stuart Highway, next town over, I'll be fine. Or whether you are actually planning to maybe go on a remote dirt road, it always pays to be prepared.